Milk, minute, milk, minute, milk, minute, yeah.
Milk.
This is Maureen Farrell.
And Heather O'Neill.
And this is the Milk Minute.
We're midwives and lactation professionals,
bringing you the most up-to-date evidence for all things lactation,
so you can feel more confident about feeding your baby,
body positivity,
relationships,
and mental health.
Plus, we laugh a little or a lot along the way.
So join us for another episode.
Ooh.
Are you feeling the fall vibes?
Happy Halloween, everybody.
Do you have pumpkin spice in your veins?
Today, we wanted to bring you a creepy, funny episode about terrifying breastfeeding gadgets, devices, whatever we want to call them today.
Apparatuses that'll make you squirm.
Make you scream.
Sometimes, I bet, yeah. But before we get into that, we would like to thank our newest patron, Caroline C.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much, Caroline. We really appreciate your contribution.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Before we start, I had a question for you, because I know you just went to your block party.
Yeah.
You were like a little nervous. How'd that go?
It was good. I actually put these episodes together all day and right up until the point where the block party started, and there was like 200 people there, and
oh, God,
I had no transition time between like working and being around so many people. And a lot of them I've known since my childhood. But I never see them, so it's like a lot of catch up. You know, it's like a lot of pressure. And I just was like, ugh. So I just wanted to shout out my friend Mary, because when I'm overwhelmed like that, I'll just find the one person in the crowd that I can sequester myself with until I feel like communicating with other people. And Mary has a wonderful 6-month-old baby who I'm obsessed with. And it was about time for him to nurse. I was starting to, you know, branch out and talk to other people. And all of a sudden I hear Mary go, Heather. And I turn around and Heidi is under her nursing cover, all up in her business while her baby is nursing. And Heidi is like very touchy because
yeah.
She sees what I do for a living. And at
She's
one
like,
point,
let me help.
Yeah. Like, so if you see me on a Saturday, there's a strong chance that there will be Heidi in the telehealth. Or if you want me to do a home visit, I might have to take her
yep.
with permission. I always tell people in advance, especially if they have older kids for her to play
mm-hmm.
with, you know? So anyway, one time I went on a home visit with Heidi and I turned my head for 1 second and looked back around, and Heidi is thoughtfully holding the breast sandwich position on this lady's breast, and she's looking up at her and she's going, "You're doing a good job." And I was just like, Heidi, first of all, you don't have gloves on,
yeah,
which is fine, but also you need to
keep
like
keep your hands to yourself.
Keep your hands to yourself.
Stinky, like, little sticky fingers.
Believe it or not, you're not actually getting paid for this consult today. So I'm going to need you to go play with the other 3-year-old here.
Yeah.
So anyway, future lactation consultant.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Mary, for being so kind and gracious. What have you been into?
Well, you just reminded me, I don't know, it was a while ago now, but a friend of mine asked me for some help because she had to go on an urgent trip unexpectedly, you know, and didn't really think much of it, just packed her pump, went. She's a 9-month-old. But when she got back, he was refusing to nurse.
Mm.
And so we tried, like, everything we could think of, you know, and it wasn't working. And finally she was like, look, I have to go, like, we're going back home. You know, they just come here for the summers. And she was like, can we just try some peer pressure? Like, do you want to come over and be topless all day with me with Lyra? And we'll see who wants to nurse where. And I was like, absolutely, I do. We went over, you know, we were tits out to the wind, sitting on the floor with the kids. You know, Lyra was like open buffet, amazing. Her son was like, these are interesting, but I will not partake.
Yeah.
Although there was one moment where he climbed on my lap and Lyra was nursing on one side, and he assumed the position and like, you know, put a hand out tentatively. And then he was like, actually, this toy looks more interesting. And we were like, no,
so sad.
So at least we were not successful that day. I'll have to catch up with her and see if she managed to turn things around. But we did do lots of counseling on pumping and commiserating and, you know, screaming into the void.
It's so hard, man.
But it was, you know, it was nice to spend time with a friend, even if it was, even if it was in an urgent patient nursing situation.
Man, that's, yeah, bodies are weird. People are weird. You know, yeah. And these kids become their own person.
Yeah.
Which is like, you can't control their experience. You know, you really can to a point, but the older they get, the more outside experience plays into it.
And it's just like, you know, you can't force it. You can't force anything when they start to move on their own and just like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Speaking of unexpected body things and also creepy things, let me run this one by you.
Okay.
So my last period was a bloodless period.
What?
Have you ever seen this?
Mucus?
It was like my uterine lining shed, but there was less than a teaspoon of blood the entire time.
So it was just like tissue?
Yeah.
Whoa.
It was super weird.
Weird.
And that's not like me. And I keep forgetting to look into it. But I'm a midwife. Like, I should freaking know. But it was right on time. I got it the day I was supposed to get it.
What did it look like?
It just looked like...
Did you take pictures?
No.
What?
It was like a mixture of mucus and just like black tissue.
I want to know.
And...
Weird.
And that's it. And I was just like,
what? Your endometrium was just undernourished.
Was it?
I don't know.
What's
happening?
Or it's like it forgot to turn the faucet on to flush it out. Weird. And it was like, meh, get rid of it anyway.
Did you have one after it yet?
No.
I'll be okay. If it happens again, you need to send me pictures.
Couple weeks. I'll tell you in a couple weeks. But it was very strange. And like, do you wear a pad? Like, it was weird. Like, I put a pad on and then I go because a tampon felt too dry.
Yeah, totally. And then I would, always feel too dry.
I'd like sit down to pee and this is so TMI, but I'd like pull my underwear down with the pad and the pad would just grab the tissue. Mucus chunks and just pull it down. And I'd be like, where is the freaking blood? What is this?
Are you pregnant?
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I got it on time.
Okay,
it was like
I'm
the
just
day.
Saying, like, are you sure though?
Pretty sure. Okay. I'd know by now because I vomit like crazy when I'm pregnant.
Okay, I'm just giving you a side.
I will pee on a pee test.
I kind of want you to.
In this bathroom right adjacent to our recording room after we're done.
Okay, anyway, now I'm just going to be looking at you weird all day.
Yeah, creepy though. Very creepy.
Yeah. Haunted period. Well, do we have a question before we hop into it?
We do. Okay, so our question today is from Sammy in the Facebook group. Sammy says, how do I know if my clogged duct is turning into mastitis? The pain is horrible.
Well, as we learned recently, there really isn't like a huge difference. A clogged duct is essentially inflammatory mastitis, not necessarily bacterial mastitis. So pain level is absolutely subjective, and it doesn't really tell us a whole lot about what's going on, except that we definitely have some inflammation. So I would say initiate the protocol regardless of ice, ibuprofen, acetaminophen for your pain, absolutely, lymphatic massage, and normal breast drainage, so feeding or pumping normally. And then if you don't see an improvement in 24 hours, call your doctor and get the antibiotics.
Right. So it's more of a time thing. It's not actually a symptom thing. It's a time thing. And also try to figure out if you have an underlying oversupply issue. Mm-hmm. So treating oversupply is going to be absolutely huge. And if you have any dysbiosis, so if you did like a lot of recent antibiotics, if you had a C-section, you definitely had antibiotics.
And we're looking at L. salivaria, I think, and one other for probiotics.
I can't pronounce it. But we will link our mastitis episodes 129 and 130 in the show notes for you.
Absolutely. And good luck.
All right. Let's take a quick break to thank our sponsors of our creepy episode. And then we are going to talk about terrifying breastfeeding devices. You guys, Breastfeeding for Busy Moms, my little breastfeeding clinic, isn't so little anymore.
I'm so excited that not only can people book with you in person here or virtually, but they can book with the other IBCLCs in your clinic.
We also do accept some insurance directly. A lot of insurance will actually pre-approve you for a certain amount of visits, even prenatally. So please head on over to breastfeedingforbusymoms.com and check out the services tab to see if your insurance is approved. Book with me or one of my IBCLCs, and we would love to work with you.
You can do prenatal consults. What else can they do, Heather?
Well, I often work with people who have supply issues. We've got pumping troubleshooting. We've got preparing to go back to work, weaning, starting solids. We really cover the entire journey. So if you're struggling, stop struggling and just schedule with me or somebody on my team at breastfeedingforbusymoms.com.
.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to your spooky, scary episode of Breastfeeding Torture.
Breastfeeding Torture. Everybody just, like, held up their three Girl Scout fingers in solidarity. Yes.
Well, first up, Heather, I wanted to bring us back toward our history of the breast pump episode, but to one that I don't actually think we included in there. This is a patent from some dude named Cunningham called the, quote, full torso device.
What?
Yeah. So it basically looks like, I mean, it must be leather, like a leather harness with these, like, cups over your boobs with straws coming out. That baby sucks from the straws.
Why?
I'm gonna assume this was like if baby can't latch for some reason, that this is like the solution.
Like it's just supposed to fall out into the straw?
Well, there's like a flange in there that fits over the nipple, and then the straw is attached to it. But strap in, everybody, because this looks horrifying.
Oh, my God. How do you even clean that?
You know, shout out to all the similarly terrifying Victorian baby bottles that had straws that nobody cleaned.
Right.
Ugh, the most terrifying.
Oh, I hate it.
But, yeah, this is from 1910.
Is it that one on the right?
Yeah, it's the one on the right. And it just,
it looks like an S&S.
It does look like a supplemental nursing thing, sort of, but also like we are maybe a dominatrix. Sort of.
You're like a fembot using an S&S, but instead of the baby being on your nipple with the straw, the baby is like near your nipple sucking out of a nipple on a straw.
I feel it also just like the way that the straps, like there's straps over the shoulders, under the arms, around the waist.
You know what it looks like is one of those Lowe's guys tool belts.
It does. Or like the roofing harnesses.
Yes. It looks like a roofing harness Lowe's
you're
belt.
You're strapped in and sucked dry.
Yeah, but is the so it's kind of like a nipple shield and an S&S had a love child and strapped itself to a utility belt.
Who also then, like, decided that they liked BDSM.
Yeah. Nothing says sexy time like being hooked
nipple
up to
straws.
A bunch of stuff that's restricting and sucky in the worst ways.
It's just this, you know, this is the first thing I found when I was like, what? Creepy breastfeed? Oh my God.
I mean,
horrifying.
On the level of creepy, I would
horrifying.
Give it like a 6.
I think on the level of physical torture, this might be like a 9.
It might be a 9, but also
terrible.
Like it's creepy and scary how dangerous and disgusting it probably was.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It just, we're not into this. Oh my goodness.
What's next up?
Okay, next up, which we're gonna go, you know, way back to the time of the first nipple shields, which were made of lead.
Oh yeah. Suck on that. Ew.
Absolutely terrifying.
Yeah, they're like, it's weird. His teeth just never came in. I don't know if that's a symptom. I'm just guessing.
I don't know, but like it took a really long time for humans to know that lead was bad. So, for possibly people with more money, I'm not really sure. We also had glass nipple shields, which just in many ways sound horrifying.
I mean, can you imagine the person that went to the glass blower and they were like, hey, Floyd, would you make me a piece of glass that looks like a sombrero that goes on my nipple? He was probably like, what do you want?
Yeah, and so when I first saw this, I was, like, way more terrified because I just imagined so it's, like, it's shaped like a bell and then there's, like, a ball on the end. Hmm. And I really just imagined the baby latching onto the ball and I was, like, how did these break off in baby's mouths? Like, what was going on? But I guess there was a rubber teat that, like, fit onto the ball. Still kind of horrifying, but slightly better. Like, what if that broke while you were using it?
Also, nipple stim at zero.
At zero. At absolute zero. Nothing. But, like, I just, after having had a painful enough breast infection to feel like glass was being shoved in my nipples, seeing that, I'm like, absolute no.
Yeah, I'm a hard no on that as well. That is definitely super creepy.
Yeah.
Oh, where are we going next?
Okay, well, so I was trying not to do too much overlap with old breast pumps because pretty much all of those are creepy. So if you want to listen to that, we have an early episode on it. But, you know, I was like, let's go all the way back, right? Like to the Iron Age, 3,000 years ago. I found this little picture of like kind of cute little like ceramic, I assume, baby bottles from like the Austria region. And I was like, okay, these are a little bit creepy. Like maybe I'll go along with this. And they're like these little round pots with little feet and then like amorphous animal heads on one side and a tail on the other. And then like an opening at the top for feeding babies milk. But then I found this horrifying creation of...
Oh. I just scrolled down.
Ew. This one is supposed to look like a pig, and you drink from the snout, but it in fact looks more like a nightmare that you are feeding your baby their milk from.
Yeah, so it definitely looks like a tea kettle if a tea kettle was a pig, and it looks like you pour the milk in the top of the pig's head, and you must hold the handle on the top of the pig and, like, tip it into the baby's mm-hmm. mouth as the baby sucks
like
on
the snout.
Like through
the pig's nose.
Ew. But then I like that it has feet, so it can just, like, you can set it down.
Yeah,
it doesn't get knocked over.
Yeah, this one has 4 feet, and it kind of just looks like if you'd maybe never seen a pig before. But a toddler drew one for you, and you were like, that's definitely what a pig looks like, and then you made it into a baby bottle.
And then they drew eyes on it.
Yeah.
With paint or something.
That's the worst part.
And the eyes are very separated and, like, downturned at the sides, so it looks like a sad, deranged
pig. But also forward-facing in the way that, like, predator eyes are.
Yeah. Oh, you're right. Oh, yeah. It's a predator pig. You know what I'm thinking about the whole time looking at this is, like, how many of them had their little prehistoric blogs about bottle refusal, you know? Like, I just could not get my baby to suck on that pig snout for anything. I've got pig snout refusal, and it's affecting my ability to hunt and gather.
It's so creepy. It is definitely, like, the nightmare baby bottle.
How do they know it was a baby bottle?
I don't know. I think they were saying they found, like, actual, like, remnants of milk when they analyzed the particles and stuff in some of them, and then they just assumed from the rest shaped similarly.
What if it was pig's milk?
Could have been.
You can milk anything with Teetsfokker.
You... Yes, you can. I imagine pig milk is probably pretty similar to human milk. They
Maybe.
Eat about the same that we do. Like, they're omnivores.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
I can. Well, we're going to go noodle on that. We're going to Google it, the content of pig milk, and we're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we get back, we're going to talk about more creepy things. I tell all my patients who are brand new parents to put a list of soothing techniques on the refrigerator so they can both remember what they've already tried for soothing baby.
I like to put a happy tummy on that list. It's a natural herbal wrap that soothes and relieves pain instantly, and it's so fuzzy.
It's so great. It helps baby sleep at night, resolves colic, gas, or constipation, and it's great because it has a little cute animal on the front for when they're doing tummy time, which provides gentle pressure to help them get their toots out.
And you know what? They're not just for babies. They have them for teens and adults, too.
So if you're struggling with those period pains, get your herbal warm Happy Tummy Wrap today by going to happytummy.com. And if you love us, enter promo code MILKMINUTE10 for 10% off.
That's MILKMINUTE10 for 10% off your Happy Tummy.
Thank you so much for supporting the show. If you're pumping milk away from your baby at all, at work, or wherever you go, you deserve a bougie product to make that easier for you.
You deserve a Series Chiller, and frankly, I could not live without one right now.
The Series Chiller is an excellent way to store your breast milk safely, and it keeps your breast milk cold for 24 hours.
It is the only thing I use to transport my breast milk to and from work while I'm working. It's got a sleek and beautiful design, lots of great colors, high quality materials, and manufacturing.
Series Chill also has other products that you might want to check out too. My personal favorite is the Milk Stash.
They have a great nipple shield that actually changes colors and it's not clear like all the other ones.
And you know how we feel about that.
If you want to have your very own Series Chiller, please go to the link in our show notes and use code MILKMINUTE15 at checkout.
That's MILKMINUTE15 for 15% off your Series Chill products. Enjoy.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Last we checked, we were talking about pig's milk.
Right, and I did look it up for you because I know inquiring minds want to know. All right, so the medians of protein, fat, and lactose concentrations are 5.85% protein, 5.4% fat, and 4.6% lactose. So this means that sows appear to have comparatively higher milk fat concentration than us, you know, because we're at about 4%, but not so much milk, protein, or lactose.
Yeah. Interesting.
So not too far off.
I wonder what it tastes like.
Well, it can't be good because if it was, they'd be milking them and selling it.
No, you know what, though? I think it's not that. I think it's that pigs can be very difficult animals to manage. And they have 8 teats.
Even better.
So that would be, can you imagine, though, the milking machine for that?
And also, you'd have to suspend the pig in midair because there's not enough clearance.
Drag on the ground. I think they're probably, yeah, those are probably the reasons we're not milking pigs.
Okay. If you can think of any other reasons that we're not milking pigs, you can email us at milkminutepodcast@gmail.com.
Anyway, the next thing I wanted to talk about was breastfeeding corsets. There's this cute little window version. It's honestly, it's like a corset that goes all the way to the top of your boobs and there's just holes covered by little breast pads that you like flap up.
It's like little eyelashes, like the eyelashes on your VW bug. You know, they just like blinky, like your boobs are blinking.
The button one next to it seems kind of horrifying, though, because I feel like your nipples would be straight in the seam the buttons go down.
Oh, yeah.
Like, because that's just like a string of buttons, like right down the nip line.
It's amazing what we've been able to do for millennia, y'all. I mean, we're just trying to stay fashionable. We're trying to stay hot for our partners, trying to feed our babies. What a nightmare.
The last one is my favorite, Heather.
What is this that I'm
this
looking
one?
At?
Okay. So, you know, corsets have laces, right? Well, this one has a set of laces for each boob. And it looks like they're all connected. Like each set of laces is connected together on like a button. And you, like, unbutton it and open to feed, and then you, like, pull the laces tight over to them. But imagine if you have such big boobs that you're, like a can of biscuits in there.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Your little hot dog nips after your baby's been suckling just sticking right out of your
Just imagine it's like trying to zip up a purse that's too full where you have to have a friend push the sides together so you can get it to zip closed.
Or, like, when you have to lay down on the bed to do your jeans up. Do you think you have to do the same on this? You, like, lay back and you're like,
Or you have to have a bathroom buddy to go with you so they can help lace you back up.
You would definitely need a bathroom buddy for any of these corsets, I think.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, yeah, that, no thank you.
Well, I was having trouble finding more terrifying gadgets, but I did stumble upon some really horrible, interesting, I'm going to call these medical muddles around breast milk.
Oh, good.
Okay, so some interesting historic applications of human milk as medicine, right? Because we've known this is pretty magical stuff for a while. However, I'm glad we've moved on from injections into the urethra for gonorrhea.
What?
And vaginal pessaries that contained human milk.
Whoa, go back to the part where you're injecting me with human milk in
yeah.
the urethra. Can,
first of all, like, this is very, you know, like several hundred years old medicine. So I'm sure whatever device they were using to inject was horrible and disgusting and dirty. Into the urethra, reverse catheter of human milk.
What? Ugh. Actually, that's kind of interesting. I wonder if that's where the idea of milking the bladder came from, as far as, you know, like if they're doing surgery and they are wondering if they nicked your bladder, they'll actually fill it with baby formula.
What? Wait a second.
You didn't know that?
No. What?
Yeah, to see if it comes through the Foley.
No, you're joking.
I'm not joking.
What?
Yeah, they'll,
How does that not immediately give you a UTI?
It probably does, but you already have a Foley, so... And you're already getting antibiotics.
I did not realize that happened.
Oh, yeah. They put... Hold on. Let me make sure they didn't discontinue that practice in the past couple of years. Hold on. So this was a nurse on, like, a chat room. And they say, okay, I've only been a nurse for a year, and I know I don't know everything. Last night, we did a C-section, and the doctor told me he wanted me to irrigate the bladder through the Foley with baby formula. I seriously thought he was joking. Apparently, he thought he may have nicked the bladder. I know the baby formula is supposed to be sterile or whatever. That just seems super strange to me. Does anyone else do this?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I can't. Wow. Anyway.
Because... if you push it through and then you see formula in the cavity, then yes, there's a hole in the bladder.
I just assumed they would use like a dye or something. Maybe they also do.
Maybe. Anyway. I don't know. But anyway, that happens.
Wow. Terrifying things still happen today, everybody. Happy Halloween. Anyway, slightly less terrifying but interesting thing that I came across while I was looking at this is people used to use butter, human milk butter, as part of a treatment for tuberculosis.
For eating or a poultice that you put on the outside of your chest?
I honestly have no idea.
I need to know. Not injecting it anywhere, are we?
hopefully not.
We're freebasing human milk to inhale it into the lungs.
You know, we've known for a very long time that some of the things we eat come through human milk and things in your blood. So there was a long period of time that wet nurses would take like medical treatments as a proxy for the sick baby.
Oh.
And probably have zero choice about it, right? So wet nurses used to take opiates, which was probably just, straight up opium.
Just like trafficking.
And mercury to treat syphilis in the child. And yeah, I'm pretty sure both of those do pass into breast milk.
Ew. Well.
It's horrifying.
Can you imagine?
Poison both of them with mercury.
Oh, that's awful.
And then things like, this was in the era of like bloodletting, right? And like balancing the humors. So wet nurses would have bloodletting and scarification and cupping and purging both ends to treat sick babies, right? They were like, okay, we'll just treat the nurse.
Yeah, I'm sure that did not help the breastfeeding rates. I'm sure rich moms everywhere were like, I'm definitely using a wet nurse because I don't want anyone coming near me and making me vomit and poop myself and bloodlet and take opium and mercury. And like, oh my God.
Truly terrifying.
That actually really is. No, that's really probably the scariest one. I've actually had the thought about, what if I made butter out of human milk? What would it be like?
I've made ice cream out of it.
What? Tell me more.
Yeah. So do you remember the story about Ivan leaving all of my frozen milk out with Griffin?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. If you guys are unfamiliar, I didn't really pump a lot with Griffin, and when I did, it was really hard. And I finally got something close to like 50 ounces in the freezer. And then Ivan had a sleepwalking issue that is mostly resolved since. And he went and opened the freezer and took out the milk and put it on the counter and went back to bed.
Oh, yeah. I remember that now.
And then it all thawed out to room temperature, and I cried. But then I made ice cream out of it because I was like, okay, well, we're just using it. We put it in an omelet. I was like, we're all drinking milk today, everybody.
50 and Ivan's ounces. Like, everybody drink up. She's got crazy eyes.
But yeah, I mean, it was good. I think I mixed some cream in and, just like it was fine. It was just sweet.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, breastfeeding's not always terrifying, but some of the ideas surrounding it are, some of the gadgets are. I think overall, we're headed to a good place.
I think so, too. Unless, a less terrible place.
Although, here's my fear, is that Tony Robbins keeps going on his health book promo tour that he just wrote, like, a 1,000-page book or something about health and aging. And he's talking about, like, placentas being the answer for anti-aging, which maybe, you know, because of the stem cells.
Who knows?
But then we've got all this great research on microbiome and breast milk. And I'm like, oh, my God. Shut up. If the government finds out that we are the answer with all of our magical properties to anti-aging, as well as chronic health conditions, they are going to start farming us. And it's going to turn into the frickin' Handmaid's Tale.
I think that while it does feel like we're living in a dystopian reality sometimes, we don't need to imagine quite such a terrifying
Welcome to my brain. It's not real. I know that. But it is a little questionable that all the billionaires who are like the life coaches to presidents, hear me now, they are the life coaches to the presidents. They're like, placentas, that's it. Breast milk, this is it.
I agree. And the fact that people sometimes are not allowed to take them home from the hospital, I'm like, what are you doing with them?
Yeah, they wouldn't let me take mine. That was terrifying and creepy. The nurse looked at me and she was like, it's actually already behind a locked door, so I couldn't get it for you if I wanted it. And I was like, don't you find that odd?
Yeah, that's uncomfortable.
Hello?
Well, everybody, we're just, you know, here every day to point out the uncomfortable parts of life. But I hope that you all are having a wonderful Halloween, wonderful fall, pumpkin spice season, whatever it is that you're enjoying right now.
Yes, unless you're in Australia, in which case it's spring or something.
That's true. We do have some listeners there. Hey, folks.
Hello. What's up? Let's take a quick break. Thank a sponsor, and we're going to come back, and we've got a really good award today.
I think
you're going to love.
I'm so excited. Okay. Heather, have I told you about my new favorite place to get nursing bras?
Ooh, tell me.
It's called the Dairy Fairy. The Dairy Fairy offers bras and tanks that try to solve the challenges that come with nursing and pumping. Their ingenious intimates are beautiful, supportive, and can be worn all day long.
Oh, you're allowed to look good and feel good about yourself while wearing a nursing bra?
Absolutely, and they offer sizes up to a 52G.
Oh,
amazing.
I'm so glad a company has finally realized that a D cup is not a large.
Absolutely, and it's so affirming to feel included in sizing and not feel like I'm asking for too much, that clothing fits my body.
Well, what else do we get?
Well, if you guys follow the link in our show notes, you can use the code MILKMINUTE at checkout for free shipping on all domestic orders.
Oh, thank you so much, Dairy Fairy.
Absolutely. Once again, that's the link in our show notes, and use the code MILKMINUTE for free shipping on all domestic orders.
All right, welcome back, everybody. I love my awards section, and today I have a special patron to thank, as well as give an award to.
Okay.
So this goes to Anne-Marie Hext of Milk Maidens Lactation in Manhattan Beach, California. Yes. So Anne-Marie says that she's celebrating a year in private practice as an IBCLC, and she shared with me some of her obstacles and wins, and she told me I could read them on the show. Anne-Marie says, the biggest obstacle in launching my private practice was me. I was lacking the courage needed to take this big leap. It wasn't until I began sharing my dream out loud that it started to become a reality. Been there, girl. And then it's like a runaway train. The support and encouragement from my colleagues helped me see that I had everything I needed to be successful. Once I recognized that, there was no stopping me. I work with clients in other states, other countries, and even remote areas in my surrounding community that lack any lactation services. Those are some of my favorite visits. The commitment and determination of a breastfeeding parent who is willing to hunt down a consultant to get the care they need is inspiring. The extra care and attention I can provide at a home visit is an opportunity I just don't get in a hospital or outpatient setting. One of my absolute favorite moments of this past year was a home visit for a parent of twins whose partner was away for work. Ugh. Knowing that they could use a little extra help, I stayed a little bit longer so that I could do a tummy time session with each one of the babies. As I lay on the floor chatting about lactation and watching this little peanut, they rolled over for the first time. My client's eyes grew wide and their face absolutely lit up. That moment of joy and excitement carried me all the way home with a smile on my face that just wouldn't fade. Although it's only been one short year, I cannot see myself doing anything but this, and I can't wait for year number two. Oh, and the hardest part, definitely social media. I suck at it. I'm longing for the day when I can justify the expense of paying someone to do that for me. Honestly, my dog could do better than I can.
Oh, so lovely of you to share that with us. I think we can really both relate to a lot of that.
100%. And I think a lot of other IBCLCs who have always wanted to do private practice, mm-hmm. who have been like teetering on the edge for a really long time, are going to be really thrilled to know that you took the leap and that you did it.
Yeah, good job. Well, Anne-Marie, I think we're going to give you the Courageous Consultant Award today.
Oh, hell yes, we are, Anne-Marie. And we wish nothing but the best for you, you Courageous Consultant. I hope your practice continues to fly and that you keep getting to serve all of the patients that you get to serve.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for tuning in, everybody, to kind of a silly, silly episode today.
The way we change the system that's not set up for lactating parents, in addition to just having a good time, is educating ourselves, our friends, our family, providers, everybody.
If you guys like the podcast today or any other day, please share with a friend, share on social media, join our Patreon. We would love to have you there. You get access to like private questions with us, special videos, bonus content, early episodes, all that. So just head over to patreon.com/milkminutepodcast.
You all are the best, and we hope you have a great week.
Bye.
Bye.
It's a myth.